Well, you are among the blessed today, because instead of continuing on in our overindulgence as a culture, we're here together. And God has a fresh word for us this morning. He's going to speak to us and give us vision and share his heart with us for what he wants to do. He wants to do a new work in a new year today. And so we're going to hear his heart today. And so I'm going to read from continuing on in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I wasn't sure where we were going to go this week. I didn't feel strongly that we had a definite word for the year, for 2019, but I feel like the heart of God's on this today for us. So let's pray, and we'll get into his word. So Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for this opportunity just to hear from you today. And I ask for myself as well and all of us here, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church. We love you and we love your voice, and thank you that you haven't left us as orphans, but you've come to us and to reveal the heart of the Father. And we thank you for that. And so, Holy Spirit, today we ask you in the name of Jesus, open our eyes, enlighten our hearts, and release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this room right now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it reads this: Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And the verse that, the part of this that I just feel like is highlighted for us is this: do not put out the Spirit's fire. This is an older translation of the NIV. The more current translations read, do not quench the Holy Spirit, but it's saying the same thing. And I like this better because it gives you more of a picture of what's going on with the Holy Spirit and our relationship to Him. But do not put out the Spirit's fire, which helps us understand if we can put out the Spirit's fire, that means we can also fuel it. That means we can also stoke it. Paul tells Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God within you. And there's a part that we play in this. Sometimes we make the mistake of we think it's all just the Holy Spirit, right? He's God. He knows where I live and he knows my needs. So whenever he's ready to do his thing, he'll just do it. So I'm just going to go about my life. On the other side of this, we think that things have to be, like all the stars have to be aligned. We got to have the right music and the right person and the right words, right? And somehow that invokes the Holy Spirit to come. But as we teach here, often we walk in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. James says this: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's relational, and it's a cooperation between the two. And so this week and next, we're gonna be right here. And there's really two sides to this. It's actually very circular in nature, because it's not just these things aren't separated. They actually fuel and feed one another. And we're gonna talk about on the one hand, how we have, when we tend to the Spirit's fire in our own hearts through things like rejoicing and prayer and giving thanks. But then we also get to tend to the Spirit's fire in one another's hearts through the gift of prophecy. And we're going to talk about that next week. And so if you have questions about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, come next week. I'm going to try and answer them. And if you love prophecy, come next week. We're going to have a great time searching out the word for what God has to say about prophecy. But all of these things together, if you spend your time rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, if you give yourself to prophecy, it's the Spirit's fire is fueled. It's stoked in our lives. It's fanned into flame. And we have a vision here. You know, we want our service times together to be times of encounter, where people come and they encounter the presence of Jesus, where they encounter the Holy Spirit and they encounter His people as well. We have a vision and a heart for that. We have a vision for outreach in our community. We desire to see that fatherlessness would be ended here in our city. I see us as being a light to the nation, to where people would come to visit this community and say, what happened here? Because the kingdom of God came and fatherlessness was judged in our city. We have a vision for our individual, for our families, for every person here, every man, every woman, every child, that they would be burning in love and longing for Jesus. I came here, when I came to TFC and I'd grown up in a Southern Baptist church. And, when we moved, about the time I graduated, went to a Nazarene church, and then I came to an Alliance school. And so I've grown up in church world, and they reached a point where I was just like, you know what? It's just all the VBSs, the revival meetings, the potluck socials, the cantatas. They don't capture my heart. I'm after something more. And the thing that changed me forever, I remember just as right before we got engaged, coming to this fellowship for the first time and encountering the Holy Spirit, and for the first time truly knowing His fire within my heart. And it has wrecked me for life. There's nothing that satisfies. There's nothing I'm satisfied with nothing less than the fullness of His presence and His power manifested on the earth. I long for it. It's the one thing that keeps me going, is that something could happen. He could show up and change everything in an instant. And we want to be a people. And when I say burning, I don't just mean, woo, I'm on fire for Jesus. It's not just an emotional high. I'm talking about that ache, that longing. Sometimes we get those emotional highs after a retreat or a conference or something, and that's great. And I like to compare it to, maybe, you should never do this, kids, but pouring gas on a fire, right? That there's a quick, whoo. But if there's not something of substance to burn, it's a flash and it's gone. And so what will we offer the Spirit to consume? How will we be a people who tend to the Spirit's fire? Do you understand that Peter tells us that we're a royal priesthood? In Revelation, John tells us this picture of the elders around the throne saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, for by your blood you purchased men for God and made them to be a kingdom and priests their God." One of the main roles that priests played in the temple was to tend to the fire, to make sure that it never went out. And our role as priests, our number one priority is to tend to the Spirit's fire. Because if you get a people who are fiery in love and longing for Jesus, and they start sharing the gospel, kingdom stuff starts happening. If you have a people who are fiery in love and longing for Jesus together in a prayer meeting, kingdom stuff starts happening. When you get a people who are fiery in love and longing for Jesus together on a Sunday morning gathered for worship, kingdom stuff starts happening. We desire to be more than just simply good, obedient followers of Jesus. I'm not saying that quite right. Hold on. We want to burn for Him. He's worthy of our lives. His fire, it brings His presence, it brings His power, it brings His purity. So how do we tend to the Spirit's fire? Well, Paul gives us these instructions. First, that we are to rejoice always. And it doesn't mean be happy always, right? Happiness comes from happenings. Happiness comes from our circumstances. You can be happy one minute and in the dumps the next, because things will change in a moment, won't they? And even joy. Joy is the work. It's from the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. But rejoicing is different, because rejoicing is intentional. Rejoicing is a choice that we make to do something. Rejoicing, it simply means this. Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. But rejoicing, it means to take delight in. Rejoice always. Take delight in the Lord always. What are the things that you take delight in? Could it be your spouse? Men, we take delight in our wives. The older I get, the longer I'm married, the more I wonder what Tom was thinking when he gave me his daughter's hand in marriage, right? I mean, I was young, 20, 22, 23-year-old knucklehead, clueless, right? And not only did God give me a foxy lady, but he gave me one who fears the Lord and is full of wisdom, and my life abounds with blessing. I take delight in her. You take delight in your kids, right? You can all think this. It's okay. We all do, but we don't have to speak it out loud. But mine are just a little bit better. Some of you might say, mine are just a little more special in a good way. But they're my favorite people. I've never had a day that I woke up and said, gosh, I got to be a dad again today, right? No, they're my favorite people. I love having them around. We never had the terrible twos. We just enjoyed and embraced every season of life, even with its challenges. It was awesome. And now we're in the stage where they've got driver's licenses and jobs, and trying to get them together for a family meal it takes a move of God to get everybody in the house at the same time. So enjoy every season, because this one stinks. But I could not be more proud of them. I could not delight in them more. I rejoice in them. Do you have a hobby? Is there something you can't wait? You're like, I got 5 minutes before the next meeting. I can sneak in here and work on this. Is there a place, right? A place that you delight in? With this adoption, we spend a week at Hilton Head Island every year, and this year it's kind of coming up to question. We don't know if we can do it, but that's our place. That's that place that we delight in. We cross the street and we're on the beach. We hang a left and there's nobody. It's just us. It's awesome. We delight in it. Have you given the Lord that place of delight in your heart, where you rejoice in him? And we rejoice in him in two ways. Paul encourages us in Colossians. He says, set your minds on things above. And then he goes on to say, set your hearts. And we can actually set our minds. We can actually dwell. We can think. When Jesus talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind, he's not just talking about being an intellectual and being an apologist. He's actually talking about your thoughts. Do your thoughts go to him? Or do throughout the day, is he your daydream? Do you long for those moments where I got 5 minutes before the next meeting, I could meet with him? Do your thoughts turn towards him throughout the day as they would turn towards your wife or to your kids, or as you daydream and long for that place you get to go to? But we set our minds, and it's an intentional, not just sort of like, well, maybe it'll hit there, but it's an intentional setting of our minds on him. And we do that, first of all, through reading God's word, where scripture talks. It makes wise the simple. It renews our mind. It transforms our thinking. Something happens when we read his word. We fill our thoughts with his thoughts. And not only reading his word, but meditating on it, dwelling on it. The picture often is of a cow chewing its cud, where it's just, you're going over it and over it and over it again. Do your thoughts turn towards him? Paul encourages us, think on these things, dwell on these things. We're delighting in him. We're rejoicing in him. Sometimes there are things you can just, in your prayer life, or you can combine prayer with your meditation, saying, God, I don't understand what you're talking about here, but I think it's awesome, and I just want to know more about it. But you're dwelling on it. And then it says, and then Paul goes on and says, set your hearts. One of the criticisms that comes towards charismatic expressions of Christianity is they're just so emotional. And that's both fair and incorrect. It's fair. Emotionalism is you being led by your emotions. Emotions direct the course of your life. And so if you come in and say, I just don't feel like it today, you're being equally emotional as you are with someone who's being more demonstrative in their emotion. We're all for emotions in our worship. In fact, I'm probably more concerned about somebody who is separating themselves from emotion in their love and affection towards God. But we are not victims of our emotions. We can actually choose to set our hearts on Him. And when we rejoice, we take delight in. And one of the ways we rejoice is to speak out, to declare, to praise. And so praise can involve singing, but can also just simply be declaring His worth, declaring His attributes, declaring His goodness. And something happens, right? Faith comes by hearing. Do you know faith can come by hearing your own declarations? You can declare the truth about God and you hear, and faith rises up in your heart. And you set your heart on Him. Suddenly your mind and your heart align with who He is, and you are rejoicing in Him. And so it's not just simply, yeah, I feel happy, I'm rejoicing. It's actually, I'm choosing. I'm being intentional. I'm setting my mind. I'm opening His word. I'm meditating on what He says, and I'm speaking it out loud as the truth. Now, how is the Holy Spirit involved in this? Well, Paul prays for us in Ephesians that we would have power to comprehend, that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. When we delight in Him through His word, it renews our mind. When we delight in Him in praise, right? Worship is revelation and response. And the more the Father seeks those worshipers who are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And as we begin to speak these things out, He reveals more of who the Father is. He brings glory to Jesus. Our eyes are open and our hearts are captivated by Him in a fresh way. We are to rejoice always. And Paul goes on, he says, rejoice always and pray continually. Now, this is always the one that gets people, isn't it? Like, pray continually. Some of you with young children are like, I can hardly go to the bathroom without a kid coming in and nagging me, right? How am I supposed to pray continually, like nonstop, like walk around like this, which would not only be silly, but dangerous, right? How do I pray continually? I've got to focus on my job. I've got to take my mind off of prayer and do work. And it's interesting to me, as I was processing through this, we always think like praying continually is like, we got rejoicing always covered, right? We're good at that. We don't need to grow in that. We got giving thanks in all circumstances. That's easy, but praying continually, that's the hard one. No, all three are actually a challenge. But they're also quite impossible too. Because the only way we could even come close to fulfilling this is to take 20 minutes of every hour and rejoice, and then the next 20 minutes to pray, and then the next 20 minutes to give thanks. But even that, we still haven't come any closer to fulfilling this, because as soon as we start praying without ceasing, we've stopped rejoicing always. So what is going on? What is Paul encouraging us or calling us to do? Well, Jesus quoted Isaiah in this. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And that word for prayer has two different meanings. And the first is simply prayer, petition, making requests. And the second is, my house shall be called a house of praise. I say, well, which is it? And the answer is, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Paul encourages us as he says, with thanksgiving, in the midst of thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And we suddenly realize that these things, you know, think through some of the songs that we sing and how many of them are making requests to God. Open our eyes. Show us, move in power. Come, Lord. And we're singing these things out and we're tending to the Spirit's fire. See, it's not about what you're doing. It's about who you're engaging with. Who you're connecting with, how you are tending to the Spirit's fire in your heart. It's about welcoming His power and welcoming His presence. And so I want to help us today and say this. It's not about nonstop prayer. It is about continually lifting your heart to Him. It's about continually turning your thoughts and your heart to Him. And so how do we bring prayer into every part of our day? When we gather for men's prayer on Tuesday mornings, we pray into this time here. And then right before the service with the worship team and other leadership, we meet for prayer over this time. And then we start the meeting with prayer. And then we do worship, which is prayer. And then we close the meeting with prayer. Then we dismiss the children in prayer and take the offering in prayer and start the message with prayer. And then at the end of this time today, we pray for one another and then we dismiss in prayer. Is this a worship service or is this a prayer service? The answer is yes, but instead of saying, how do we pray like nonstop, how do we bring prayer into every part of what we do? And what's the first thing you do when you get up out of the morning? That may be easy. Some of us pray, oh God, help me. Right? But it's the first thing we do. Do we seek Him? Do we connect with Him or do we connect with everybody else? And we start our day with prayer. When you're sending the kids off to school or wherever they're going, it's an opportunity to pray over them. Lord, give them wisdom. Help them be diligent in their school. Protect them. Speak to them today. On your drive to work, I drive to Seneca sometimes, and when you get to Broken Bridges on a clear morning, there's just this beautiful view to the left over the water. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I live in such an amazing area. Thank you for a vehicle that runs. Thank you for this account that I'm going to. Thank you for health that I can work. Thank you for all your provision. Lord, as I'm going into this day, help me in these difficult situations. Help me with these tasks that I have to do. Right. It's just a continual, recurring lifting of our hearts to the Lord. During the day, as you encounter these situations, God, I just need grace. I need help right now. On your ride home, thank you, Lord, that you helped me through another day. Thank you that I've got food waiting for me at home and that all my needs are met. You know, even as you close the day, I've been trying to do this more and more, but Scripture says that He gives to His beloved even while they sleep. In other words, God's not waiting for me to do all the right stuff. Sometimes He just needs me to lay down, get out of the way. And so, Holy Spirit, I just consecrate this time of rest to you. Restore my body. Do your work in me. Speak to me. Would you speak to me in a dream? Pray without ceasing. Some mornings it's harder than others. This morning we all overslept on accident, so we were rushed around to get here, but you can actually, on your way into a time like this, give thanks. Spend time thanking the Lord. Right? We can worship in freedom. I've got a great family to join in loving you and meeting with you. We can pray over car trips before we travel somewhere. Lord, thank you for the time off. Thank you for this time together as a family. Would you meet us in this time? It's not so much about this burden of, oh my gosh, there's 2 seconds where I stopped praying. It's about how do we bring prayer into every aspect. How do we encounter His presence in every aspect of our lives? It's about rejoicing always, praying continually. And how is the Holy Spirit involved in this? Well, prayer is a conversation, which means there's a back and forth to it. And so it's not just about let's get together and just ask the Lord for lots of stuff. If it helps with your imagination, imagine the Holy Spirit's part of your carpool. And you can just drive. I like what Nicholas said a couple weeks ago, saying, you know, the God's always present. Will we acknowledge Him? Will we engage with Him? Right? We can just drive on our way to work and just let the radio play and sit there in silence. Or we can share our hearts with Him. We can thank Him. We can ask Him questions. We can listen. We can pray without ceasing. And so Paul continues as we tend to the fire of the Spirit. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. The psalmist David encourages us. He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. And what thanksgiving does is us taking the first step towards Him. In every circumstance, in every win, in every loss, I'm stepping towards you. I'm tending to the fire of your presence in my life. I'm preparing the way for you to move in power in my life. And in doing this, We're not called to just sort of like, well, if God wants to do anything about it. No, we're like, God, you must come. Lord, I can't do this without you. Lord, you are my only hope in this situation. Your word and your truth are the rock that I stand on. Give thanks in all circumstances. In every step, in every situation, we are stepping into his presence and preparing the way for him to work. And so it's not only, you know, Paul writes it in the negative of don't quench the Spirit, don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire, but it's actually a stepping into. It's actually how do we stir the Spirit's fire? How do we tend to it? How do we fan it into flame in our lives? And it's through rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances. And sometimes it's real easy. We get burdened with the always, with the in all circumstances, with the without ceasing, right? And we think it's just another command on top of another command on top of another command. But actually these were designed. Paul is giving us keys to release us into encounter, to release us into a greater measure of his presence and his fire in our hearts and on our lives. He's saying, give yourselves to these things because it fans into flame. It stirs the Spirit's fire within you. And I didn't get a chance to do this, but I have in the past, and so my memory isn't quite sharp on it. But this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you just do a search on your own, just type in God's will throughout the New Testament, and what you'll find is the vast majority is just simply this. You can find out what God's will is or you know, do this and that you'll know God's will, but there may be one other verse that gets this specific, that this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that we would be a people where the Spirit's fire would be full in our lives and full in our hearts. And so, like I said, I don't know if I have, in the past, feel like this is a word for 2019. But I do feel like God wants to do a fresh work here of renewal and of encounter in our body. And so where are we going to go with this? What we're going to do is we're going to call a corporate time of fasting and prayer. The last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of January, together as a body, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and fasting. We're going to give ourselves to tending to the Spirit's fire on our hearts. We're going to look back and we're going to thank him for all that he's done in 2017. We're going to ask him to do more at 2017, 2018. Where am I? What day is it? What am I doing? We're going to thank him for all that he did last year. We're going to rejoice in him and all that he's going to do this year. We're going to ask for an increase of his fire, an increase of his power, an increase of his presence manifested in us, among us, a greater working in our midst. Because this is our number one priority. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to take those 3 days and 18 hours of each day. We're going to open up the prayer room here, and you're going to have slots that you can sign up for an hour and come with your family, come by yourself, come with brothers and sisters in the Lord, respectively. And we're going to tend to the Spirit's fire on our hearts. Not because when we fast and pray, that really manipulates God and gets him to do stuff. We're doing it because he's worth it. Because there's nothing like the fire of his presence. There's nothing like the fire of his power. There's nothing like when he comes and when he purifies. And some people may think, well, oh, and this too, on that Wednesday night, we're going to end with a time of worship together as a body. And so we just feel God wants to, this is the right thing for the right time. Some people may get a lot, some of you probably are fasting and you might be freaking out in your mind's like, I can't do that. Right? And we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go through it. But some of you may also be nervous about, oh my goodness, an hour in prayer. How am I going to fill that? That sounds like misery, just sitting in a room trying to come up with stuff to say. Right. But as we just talked about, you could just go in there by yourself or with your family or with brothers and sisters in the Lord and begin to rejoice. begin to declare who he is, begin to declare his worth, declare his attributes, declare all that he's done for you in Christ Jesus. And if you run out of things to declare about him, you can start giving thanks. And you can give thanks for all that you have and all his blessings and all the ways he's cared for you and all that he's done and all the goodness that he's poured out on you. And if you come to the end and you don't have anything else to thank him for, then you can begin to make requests. Lord, would you come in power? Lord, would you heal my brother and my sister? Lord, would you bring salvation to this family member? Lord, would you transform our community? What we're tending for here is a greater measure of encounter, greater measure of the Spirit's fire on our hearts. And we're not doing it because this really manipulates him and gets him to do something. We're doing it because his presence is so worth it. So, how do I stir the Spirit's fire in my life? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. We tend to the Spirit's fire. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you've done in 2018. Thank you for the ways that you've shown yourself faithful. Thank you for all the ways that you've revealed yourself to us. Thank you, Lord, for calling us deeper, for calling us further in 2019. And we surrender to you, Holy Spirit. And we just choose today, Lord, we want to open our hearts and prepare the way for you to come and move in power to fulfill your agenda, not ours, in this coming year. And so, Lord, we pray with your disciples, teach us to pray. Teach us to rejoice. Teach us to give thanks. Lord, we don't want to quench your Spirit. We don't want to quench the fire that burns in us. Lord, we want to fan it into flame. We want to see it grow larger, Father. And we invite you now, would you come and change us? Make us a thankful people. Make us a people who know how to rejoice. Teach us to pray. Love you and we thank you. Thank you for your patience and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.